Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is The Final Word, Australia, South Africa. Women's Test Daily from Perth, day three. And the final day, Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan with you. The show brought to you by cbussuper.com.au. Bharat, do the thing that we do and tell me about the day in the space of 30 seconds.
Before I even get started, I was surprised that I'll have enough to fill up 30 seconds with just the way South Africa had batted in the first innings. But they were a lot more impressive in the second innings. And after that collapse the previous night, Delmi Tucker and Tasman Bridge batted for a while. They batted long enough to get the Australian bowlers into their second spells. Tucker made 64, then Chloe Tryon came on and made 64. Ash Gardner broke the back of the South Africans, two back-to-back wickets. And then the second new ball, Darcy Brown wicket. Annabel Sutherland, of course, finishing the game off before Alana King gets a wicket for herself, and Australia win by a significant margin. And you're going to tell me what that margin is.
I can tell you what that margin is, actually. It was an innings and 284 runs, which is the second biggest margin ever in women's test cricket. The only bigger one was when England dominated New Zealand in Christchurch in 1935, which was the fourth ever women's test. So wow, it's there have been 148, I reckon, women's tests thus far. We will tick over the 150 soon. So out of those 150, 148, that's the second biggest margin. So it was a thumping, but it was all about South Africa finding something in the contest, because they were never going to be in the game. Look, I mean, you think about the position they were in. They were three down for 67 when they resumed, which meant they were 432 runs short of even making Australia bat again. They were never going to do that. They were never going to take a lead, let alone have any hope of trying to win the game. But really, it was just about how long they could bat, if they could summon a better showing after being bowled out so cheaply in the first innings, whether they could maybe drag it into the fourth day, annoy the Australians. So I think that was their aim when they showed up, was first and foremost, was to try to get through the day, which they didn't quite do, but they did take it deep and went into that third session. So yeah, Tasman Brits and Delmi Tucker batting through about 20 overs the previous evening and then 20 overs in the morning session. So they got pretty close to lunch by the time Brits was out. And she was very much grinding. 31 from 127 balls. Low catch at slip by Phoebe Litchfield off Elise Perry. The umpire on review found the fingers under the ball and decided that was out. But then Tucker kept going into the second session, Bharat. So let's talk Delmi Tucker a little bit. At first, I first saw her playing live during the Commonwealth Games. She played one of the matches in that pool stage. She debuted on that England-Ireland tour in 2022 for South Africa. She's an off-spinning all-rounder. She's one of those kind of those relatively modest spinning all-rounders who can do a job at either discipline, but doesn't seem to have the star power in either to be a dominant player. But she's a player who was willing to dig in and do some difficult work during this test match. So, and you know, she's she's probably not in this team. Well, she wouldn't have been in this test team if Marizane Kapp had been fit.
Exactly, yeah.
She's probably struggling to get into the team if and when Dané van Niekerk comes back as another spinning all-rounder in that top six, and she made a golden duck in the first innings here. And so I thought it was very creditable that she worked away into the game with the ball, got the wicket of Healy, bowled pretty nicely, I thought, and then took her chance with a test match 50, that opportunity that she had. Not entirely convincing at times. There were a few dicey shots that were played and a couple of balls lobbing into space and that sort of thing. But she batted for 4 hours when her team needed somebody to do that. I thought played the pull shot well, faced 181 balls, and at least puts her name in the hat for next time they play a test match to say that that she's got some of the temperament needed to bat long.
Yeah, how do you leave her out? I mean, in a collective performance, which was overall so disappointing, she really put her hand up. And you're right, in the first innings, her dismissal really epitomized how out of depth the South African team seemed to be at the test level. I mean, you can't blame them. They don't play not just enough test cricket. They barely play any test cricket. So just her dismissal. It was a decent delivery, just a full ball, and she played all around it, and she got bowled. And she could see she was clueless. She was hapless in terms of getting her head around how she had just been dismissed. And she started off, she does have an interesting technique. A bat comes from a weird angle that the feet don't move too much. But we've seen over the years, you don't need a lot of footwork. You can bring your bat in from whichever angle till the time you have a great eye and you know how to hit a cricket ball. And I think through that inning, she showed us that there were times when you felt like, ooh, the ball's just sneaking through, but it didn't. Her bat came down at the right moment. And I thought she grew into her innings, batted really well. I thought she could have been used a lot more with the ball than she was, not just because she got Alisa Healy out. She felt like just her slow lobbing style off-spin action could have created some issues for the Aussies, but that wasn't to be. But I mean, for someone who comes into the side, like we saw with some of the West Indian players during the Test series, or even the South African men's players in New Zealand, all you can do is grab that opportunity and make sure that the next time a selection meeting happens, your name is in the mix, and Delmi Tucker's name will be in the mix. It has to be in the mix.
Yeah, which it may come up sooner than we might think. I'll come back to that for the Hall of Fame, I think. Chloe Tryon, her innings, so they made the same score, 64, batted together, Tucker and Tryon, for 24 overs. Actually a fascinating innings watching Chloe Tryon bat. I was intrigued by it because we know her as, I mean, she's probably the biggest six hitter, like in terms of the length of the sixes she hits, she's probably the biggest bomber of the ball in the game. And we know her as a player who goes over the leg side a lot in limited overs cricket. In this innings, didn't hit a six, did hit fours, almost all through the offside. So she hit 10 boundaries, 9 of them were through the offside. And she played some incredible shots. She was really rifling the ball along the ground through sort of extra cover, through mid-off, splitting fielders, hitting those gaps, and then in between times playing very conservatively. So she faced 122 dot balls out of, 153 balls faced for the 64 that she made. So, you know, 10 boundaries, and then aside from that, not working the ball around a whole lot. Strike rate of 40 was still faster than what the others were doing. But it was a very tailored innings to test cricket. And it was interesting. So she said after play, her interview was equally interesting. She said basically that she was fighting her instincts the whole time because she's like, your instinct in white ball cricket is you want to smash the ball. You want to feel the bat on ball ideally as hard as possible. You want to be putting power into shots. And the whole way through, she kept having to say, don't do that. Don't play those shots. Hold back and play a different style of cricket. And yeah, the fact that she was nailing extra cover drives along the ground instead of nailing balls over deep mid wicket, it was an intelligent innings and a very adaptable. It showed her ability to adapt.
Yeah, and especially considering the fact that she faced a lot of the spin. She faced a lot of Sophie Molyneux. That was a period where The Australian seamers were given a break, and the spinners bowled a lot to her. And that's generally when she's at her most dangerous in wide ball cricket. She just clears that front leg and hits a lot of balls, like you said, or square leg or mid wicket. But the fact that she was able to kind of stay very patient, because you know how soft Sophie Molyneux bowls, she attacks the stumps a lot. She defended really well, but as soon as she was given a little bit of width, regardless of whether it was spin or seam, she he played the, like you said, the square drive really well. Even she played the square cut really well. It was a well-grafted innings. And like I said, if Tucker's dismissal in the first innings epitomized how out of depth South Africa were, I thought Tryon's innings in particular told you that if given a chance, like, you know, you in one innings, they already, she already looked like she'd improved. She'd got her head around test cricket, because we spoke about her on day one where she wanted to break free, but she kept maybe telling herself, I need to play like a test batter till it was too late, and then she got out. It was a really well controlled innings, and it makes you think, right? If only they'd put a few more runs or a lot more runs in the first innings, even if they hadn't made a match of it, they could have really walked away with a few more credits up their sleeve than what we saw.
Yeah, if they batted another session even in that first innings, then they're probably potentially able to push it into 4 days and at least make more of a contest of it. The Australian spinners were probably grateful that there was a bit of a contest, because it means that at least they got to bowl. So King got into her 14th over, Gardner bowled 14, Molyneux bowled 10. So at least they got a chance after the seamers did all the work in the first innings, that wealth of bowling options that this Australian team has. So Tucker got out. There was Ash Gardner sort of really drove that ball through and drew the return chip, caught and bowled, very similar to the way that Tucker got Healy out. So it was interesting that Tucker got out the same way. Yeah. Gardner gets Nadine de Klerk just after that. The ball sliding on, caught it slip for a duck, and then the keeper Jafta, who, well, I mean, technique wise all over the place, got out exactly the same way as she did in the first innings, played around it, inside edge back onto the stumps. I mean, the sort of waft of the bat coming down, it does not look like a convincing batting style, particularly for test cricket. So, you know, she was bowled by Darcy Brown. Tryon's batting with Malaba, the left arm spinner, at the tea break, but then it's over very, very quickly after tea. Annabelle Sutherland, of course, again, already has the double ton. She's taken that good slip catch. She's got 3 for in the first innings. Then she gets a ball to absolutely carve back off the pitch and take out Tryon's leg stump, even though she's batting so well, through a defence. Gets Mlaba caught behind, cutting in the next over, and then King finishes it off with the number 11, Ayandak Lubi. Hits one back to the leg spinner. So, an innings in 284. But, you know, I suppose you just have to look at the encouragement, like you said, the progress that was made even between two innings, and then look at the possibility of South Africa improving if they get to play more.
I think that's the biggest takeaway from a game like this, right? You never expected South Africa to really compete. Like, and overall, if you look at this tour, I mean, they won a T20 for the first time. They won an ODI for the first time against Australia. Mm. But the test cricket was going to be the next step up. And who knows if Marizan Kapp was there, I'm sure they would have competed a lot more, because suddenly you have that experience and the skills and the talent of a world-class player. And to get into a big test match where you have so many inexperienced players and to not have an experienced hand out there, I think it was always going to be a tall order. But look, we all of us expected South Africa to be blown away in the second innings as well. And, you know, the start of their second innings was as poor as the first innings. But to see a Tucker who'd had it tough in the first innings, to see Tryon and even Tasman Brits fight it out there, grit it out there, face over 100 balls. They're massive positives, in my opinion, for South Africa moving forward. And you won't see it now in this game, but you'll see it the next time they play test cricket against whoever it is. But yeah, I mean, it was always going to be Australia's way. And you're right. I mean, the Saturday crowd, which... I don't know. They kept showing James Sutherland a lot on TV and his wife, as Annabelle's dad, of course. But why wouldn't you? I mean, Annabelle was having such a great dream match. I'm sure there were others at the WACA as well, apart from the Sutherland family. But I think they would have made sure they had some entertainment on a Saturday. And yeah, I mean, a 3-day finish I think it's perfect. It sums up where these two teams stand right now in terms of Test cricket.
All right, let's go to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Hall of Fame, where we pick our most final word moment of the day, brought to you by Cibasuper, cibasuper.com.au. They look after over 900,000 Australians in their retirements and do a lot of their investment back into the building and construction industries where a lot of their members are drawn from. But you don't have to work in building or construction to be with Cibus. So sort out your super. Check them out, cibussuper.com.au. Past performance, not a reliable indicator of future performance. Now, Hall of Fame, I think for me, Bharat, it was just how upbeat Chloe Tryon was after the game. She said that it was really hard work out there, but that they actually loved doing it. They loved having the opportunity. And so even when they were having their day in the dirt and being belted around in the field, they were still chuffed to be playing a test match. And also that she said that she has been hassling the executives basically constantly about playing more multi-format cricket and about the fact that they need to play multi-format series with other teams aside from the big couple and at home. They want multi-format cricket when teams tour South Africa. And she spoke about wanting to leave a legacy that the next generation get to play more test cricket. I mean, she's quite a quietly spoken character. She's not loud or demonstrative, but they were really strong words and they showed that she is a leader off the field as well, in that she has been making the case herself consistently to the powers that be that this needs to happen. And she sounded upbeat about the likelihood of it. So it's promising, it's hopeful, I think, that that teams touring South Africa in the fairly near future might be playing test matches against South Africa over there.
Oh, that's very good news. And one thing we do know about South African cricket is, I mean, as much as they have been dissed for sending a second, third, fourth string men's test team to New Zealand, is they're making money thanks to the SA T20. So they're no longer in a position where they are financially bankrupt or nearly bankrupt as they were a couple of years ago. So all this money that is coming through from SAT 20 has not really kept them afloat, but I'm sure it's giving them an option or an opportunity to not just put that money back into men's cricket, but into women's cricket as well. And as the South African team has shown in this multi-format series, on their day, they can beat even the mighty Australians, right? They did it across two formats where they'd come close at times, you know, even in the final, World Cup final last year. But this was a great tour. I think they'll go back as having achieved something that no other South African women's team had. So this is the time. The time is ripe for them to, you know, put the money where the mouth is in terms of the South African Cricket Board or people running the show there, and give them the option or opportunity to host more international cricket and multi-format cricket, because I think there is some elements to the South African team that I would love to watch in the long form.
Anything else from you for Hall of Fame?
I mean, every time you watch Darcy Brown, I think she is a heavy contributor to the Hall of Fame, isn't she? I mean, I remember 2021 when she made her test debut against India on the Gold Coast. Some of the people involved with the team, around the team, telling me that she comes from Kapunda, right? She's loves playing cricket, but there are a lot of intricate rules of cricket that she's really never bothered to get her head around. Why should she? Like, she's not really on top of all the laws of the game. And there was this one point where she has the second new ball. She's hooping it around to Jafta. And she, I think this was a try on, though. She hits her on the pad, big appeal, nobody else appeals. And you could see as she's walking back, she walks straight to her South Australian captain, Talia McGrath, and kind of asks her why it wasn't out and why it was wrong. And you could see Talia McGrath just indicating to her that, well, if the ball is like going well past leg stump, you can't be given LBW. Like, so, and Darcy Brown almost going, oh, okay, fine, fair enough. Like, because she was so, she couldn't understand why nobody else appealed. It was a big hooping in swinger, which would have hit like the maybe missed even the second set of stumps on the onside. But that's just Darcy Brown. She just enjoys being a cricketer without really always getting her head around all the laws of the game. I'm sure she understands all the basics, but there are some that I think, which kind of makes her even more fun to watch, to be honest.
I think there are a lot of bowlers out there who believe that any ball hitting the pad is out, no matter what's happening after that. So she's just one of that school, one of the fast bowling school particularly. All right, that's it for us from the test match between Australia and South Africa at the Wacker. And it was good to see the Wacker get a run again after we've been playing the men's tests at Perth Stadium when they've been able to be played over there the last few years. So, and all that redevelopment work still going on. It'll be pretty exciting to see what the Wacker ends up looking like in a year or so once all of that redevelopment is finished. That's it from us, Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan. Thanks to Cbus Super for sponsoring the show. If you want to back us in as well, patreon.com/thefinalword is where you can join up with our Final Word community. A lot of fun happening over on that Discord chat page and all the rest of it. So, we might see you there. We'll see you next time. I ain't George Benson. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced. And if my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty. Wrote this so you know what I meant. I had to go about it. Right.